Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. As we continue our effort to engage government executives who are changing the way government does business, we are here on location today in New York City. Local and state governments are under tremendous pressure to do more for citizens and to do it better. Technology has enabled governments to do just that, and nowhere is this more evident than in the delivery of health and human services, which focuses on a constituent's most basic needs, promoting well-being and self-sufficiency. To meet such noble ends, government CIOs have found it necessary to identify and implement technologies that make operations more responsive to the needs and expectations of its citizens. Over the last several years, the City of New York has made a concerted effort to implement technologies designed to make it more accessible, transparent, and accountable. With us to discuss his efforts in this area is Kamal Berwani, Chief Information Officer of New York City's Health and Human Services and Executive Director of HHS Connect. Kamal, welcome to our show. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Al. Pleasure being here.
Also joining our conversation is Nicole Gardner, IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice Leader. Nicole, good to have you again today.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, Kamal. It's great to be here.
Kamal, I'd like to begin by setting some context for our listeners. So perhaps you could take a moment and give us an overview of health and human services in New York City, perhaps starting with the agencies that fall under HHS and some of the key services provided by these agencies.
Let me start by giving you an idea of how New York City is structured. There are different deputy mayors that oversee different things. In this case, I report to Deputy Mayor Linda Gibbs, who is the deputy mayor for Health and Human Services. So Health and Human Services is not an agency like you might find in smaller counties where there's one entity. There are several entities that are fairly broad and diverse in their mission, but they all link back to the overall goal of self-sufficiency and well-being for our citizens. In that domain of Health and Human Services, you can break it down into three subdomains, which are social services, criminal justice, and health. And in those three subdomains, you have nine organizations, eight of which are mayoral agencies, and one which is a corporation, Health and Hospitals Corporation, which happens to be the largest municipal hospital network in the country. So that's really the complexity of the number of agencies. And we serve millions of New Yorkers. On a regular basis, we estimate north of 2 million New Yorkers across a broad range of needs.
So across those organizations that you described, give me a little bit more sense of the scale of operations here. So how many employees are involved in these organizations? Give me a sense of the annual budget for these HHS organizations and perhaps maybe some specifics around the IT spend.
We started – well, New York City's operational budget rivals that of many third world countries and is the third largest non-federal government budget in the country. So you would start with California, New York State, and then you would have New York City. New York City's annual operating budget for this fiscal year at the beginning of this fiscal year was projected to be $59.1 billion. At this point, we know that it'll be lower, and in fact, we are going to be projecting a downward budget due to the economics of the world. So the size of it for Health and Human Services is about, I would estimate, 15 to 20 billion of that are spent in Health and Human Services across those nine organizations. In terms of IT budget, the best estimate I can give you about IT spend in the city is going to be somewhere between $1 and $2 billion a year, depending on the year and depending on the projects and what phase they're on. That includes capital and operating projects. In the Health and Human Services domain, I would estimate the projects, the IT projects specifically, to have value of somewhere between $500 million to $750 million.
So it's a sizable piece of the overall budget.
Sizable piece.
And number of employees, roughly?
Number of employees in the domain is somewhere between 50 and 60,000. And the number of IT employees is a few thousand.
So again, very, very large.
So now in that context, very broad scale, tell us a little bit about your responsibilities as CIO of HHS and Executive Director of HHS Connect. What are some of your official responsibilities?
The mayor signed an executive order, that Executive Order number 114, that sets forth the HHS Connect project as the anchor project for a newly created office of the CIO for Health and Human Services. And we call that internally in the city a domain CIO position. And that's a new position, the first time the city has actually appointed a domain CIO. And really, it was to allow the agencies to have independent CIOs of their own, reporting up to their business and to be aligned with their commissioners, and at the same time allowing for a central IT organization, which is in this case called DOITT, the Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications, which is a central CIO function, and to fill the gap between the central and the decentral in a way that allows the different parts of the agencies that have things in common to align those things, whether it's business process, whether it's technology, whether it's technology strategy or architecture, to bring alignment between the central core and the decentralized agencies. So a lot of my role is to kind of align the interests, the technology interests, the technology standards, trying to get people to focus on an outcome together rather than doing the same thing in different ways. When we do things in different ways, not only does it cost the city and in turn taxpayers more money, but we also don't get the results that we wanted. So we end up with a lot of complexity and a lot of systems that don't talk to each other. So my primary goal is to get systems that talk to each other that typically have not in the past and to stop that complexity from getting bigger.
Wow. So that's quite a challenge. So speaking of challenges, can you tell us what your, say, top three challenges have been as you've gone into this journey, this adventure, and what have you been doing to address those challenges?
The challenge, I think, the primary challenge here is alignment of interest of different parties that all have a different role to play. You have the different commissioners that are aligned towards different individual goals and targets that are set by the commissioners and the mayor's office. You have the goals of the Office of Management and Budget, which is after more operational efficiency and cost cutting, especially in this environment. And you have the goals of the central IT organization, which is to really bring forth consolidated data center, rationalize and consolidate IT operations, especially at the level of infrastructure. I'm talking about physical servers, enterprise-wide license agreements for software vendors and those kinds of things. So everyone has a different piece, and the aligning of the interests and getting everyone to understand why they should say yes is sometimes difficult to do but very important, because in government, anyone can say no, but it takes a lot of people to say yes.
Interesting. I understand, Kamal, that you've had this role now for about a year, but I understand also that your career has spanned some 20 years in the IT business, both in the public sector as well as in the private. Can you tell me a little bit about your career path? How did you get started?
I started in government, which is where I guess you could say I cut my teeth. I started as a junior programmer out of high school, as a matter of fact, as a high school intern. Mm. At that time, it was called the Department of General Services. Now it's called Department of Citywide Administrative Services, which is a centralized admin organization. There, I started writing systems on you know, fairly legacy platforms at this point, from the point of being a junior programmer to being actually a programmer to being a senior programmer, and then getting into the network and infrastructure world, where I was controlling networks or managing or architecting networks. I spent probably my first 5 or 6 years of my career at the city between two different organizations. I started with DGS and then moved into the Department of Housing Preservation and Development. And when I was about 24 years old, I left and I went into private equity. Mm-hmm. I worked for a private equity organization called InvestCorp. And InvestCorp, although it's not a very well-known name, has done some of the largest leverage buyouts, including Saks, Gucci, and Tiffany's. And I was there during those days. And I ran the technology office operations there. I left private equity, did some consulting work, meaning I oversaw a consulting team for an integrator. From there, I went to take my first CIO position. Came back to government. I was a CIO for Department of Design and Construction. Then I went to be the CIO for Housing Preservation and Development because, you know, it was important for me to come back to an agency I was at before and kind of oversee the technology. It was a job I always strive for. And I left to do private equity again. I was a partner in a private equity firm in Florida. And then I was a CEO and chairman of a technology investment fund. I did that for about 5.5 years, traveling globally and buying and selling technology companies.
That's an incredible background. So, Kamal, as you reflect back on those experiences and those various roles, how have they shaped your current leadership role and style and influenced your thinking today?
Everyone asks, what's the difference between public and private? And I say there are lots of differences, and maybe some of those differences should go away. And again, the market, I think, has proven that there's got to be a better alignment between the two sides. So in my case, I've tried to bring a cross-disciplinary approach between public and private sector in the ways that offset what the other one's lacking. So in many ways, I'm trying to bring a pragmatic financial risk-return approach to government And when I was out in the private sector, I tried to focus on what's the right thing to do. And I think both sides need a little bit more of those.
Great, great. What is HHS Connect? We will ask Kamal Barwani, CIO of New York City's Health and Human Services and Executive Director of HHS Connect, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.